Lord, we give you thanks tonight. We give you thanks tonight. Like the songwriter says, if we had but 1,000 tongues, it would be enough to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your favor, for your loving kindness. It just can't be enough to thank you for 24 years of changed lives, destinies, rescued lives, souls. We just can't thank you enough for direction, for instruction in righteousness, for a close walk with you. We can't thank you enough. Lord, you are just too good, too deserving of our praise, too deserving of our worship, too deserving of all that we can give to you in honor and adoration. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for how far you've brought us. We see your hand in everything that we do, and we are grateful. We are grateful for your word over the years. We are grateful that we've never had to suffer the famine of your word. We give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you also because tonight you grant utterance. In fact, this weekend you grant utterance because you have something in mind. And what you have in mind will be said exactly, will be heard exactly, and you will confirm your word in our lives. Not just this weekend, but even beyond. You will do that which only you can do, that makes you to be called God. You are in a class all by yourself. You are in a category all by yourself. And you will show yourself to be so once again, in the name of Jesus. Thank you because not one of us, from the smallest to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, will remain the same again. In the name of Jesus. The praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Malikete balakataya bahando soprokodoshto brahasike lebrasto brahande. Legadosta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sorry, Sister Runga, I just felt God was saying something to you. And saying that just you can come. You know, and it's like double promotion. You know, if in the world that is given, God does it too. And God is saying that there will be leaps. You are going to jump forward in leaps. And bounds beyond what you've thought. This has not been, that has not. He said, but the way he will propel you, you will shock yourself in everything, not just one area, but in everything. Every area, even spiritually, the unction, the flow, his presence will be like it envelopes you. You feel his presence tangibly, even by yourself in your room. It'll be like he's hugging you. Just like he is now. And you can sense that presence wrapping around you even now. He said even just as you pray, you'll have those sensations. You'll begin to step into things that you have not experienced before. You begin to have his hand even upon you, not just in that place by yourself, but even as you carry on your daily task. It will be like you can sense his standing right there by your side as you can sense any physical person. He said because the time for that leap is here. And God is taking you beyond where you have been and even beyond where you thought you will ever be. Father, thank you because you are speaking of her, and indeed our own new beginning starts now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. 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 Don't touch her. God's hand is on her. His hand is on her. It's just coming like waves, like waves, like waves, like waves of electricity. And it's increasing in voltage, increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing, getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Lego dost abrahande sekele bosta. Everybody just praying in the spirit. Lego le broste frekedista bahande. Because what God does for one is ready to do for all. Lego dost abrahande sekele bahasta yakadost abrahande. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Increase that voltage upon her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even beyond the point where you think you can stand it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. When it comes, it goes beyond the spiritual. It affects everything about the person. It turns everything around, changes everything. It goes from the spiritual, but it affects everything else that you do. It affects all of your life. Yes, and the Lord will set you ablaze. He sets you ablaze with his fire, because his mighty hand is upon you, and he says his double promotion. Thank you, 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 Lord. 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 Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We give you praise. Yeah, don't be in a hurry, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Makrabashta Brahando Sokrobosto Veladista. Mangle, just lay her down. Don't need to hurry. Lay her down. She can have church there. Just lay her down. 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 It's okay. That's the Holy Ghost. Just lay her down there. It's okay. Lord, we give you praise. 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 For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You're the Lamb upon the throne. Father, we give you thanks. La brakadosh tabrahande. So I welcome you all. Welcome those online also. I believe that at least those in Lagos and I guess elsewhere, some people are, you know, watching, and welcome you all to the first day of the anniversary. Please help out. And she can just sit there. Think God's hand will be strong all the way. Yeah, Calabrosto Beladista. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. I'll read from verse 18 and we're going to verse 22. Mark chapter 2. Have you found it yet? Did you find Mark chapter 2 yet? Is it in your Bible? Okay, very good. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Did you know that asking that question is valid now? Yeah, because there are not all Bibles are published by Christian companies. Yeah, they are buying some of the rights up, and in fact, they are changing some contents of some Bibles. So I even heard there's a Queen's Bible now. You know, there's King James Version, there's a Queen's Version Bible, which speaks a bit from a gayish perspective. You know, so. Not everything is, so if we ask, is it there? Amen. Hallelujah. And there are certain things that if it's not there, or they have changed it somehow, throw away that Bible. So I encourage people to read all kinds of versions, read new versions, contemporary versions, so that you can understand. However, if you see that the meaning has been substantially changed, and you can't verify it from other more authentic versions, then throw it away. That version is dangerous. Can I have an amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 2 from verse 18, he said the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. You know, again, I was just thinking that because you say to yourself, why would anybody do that to the Bible? Because the Bible is one of a kind. Okay, because the Bible is just in its own class. There's no book like it. It's the best-selling book of all time. It has sold multiplied millions, billions of copies. That's talking about hard copies, not even electronic now. There are millions of downloads on each version you can find, perhaps. So there's no book like it. No book has sold like it. No book has continued to sell like it. So when they talk about best-selling books and all that, they don't even list the Bible because it has dusted the others by too much. Okay, and I can talk about certain things about the Bible that should tell you that the Bible is supernatural. The Bible must be the Word of God, because why is it like that? And why the interest in the Bible, both for good and for evil? Amen. Okay, so let's read now. Okay, Mark chapter 2, verse 18. It says, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, that's to Jesus, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of a bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. Okay, and no one puts new wine into old wineskin, or else the new wine busts the wineskin, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskin. So again, first let me say congratulations to everyone. You know, it's 24 years and it's amazing whether you know it or not. Amen. It's amazing how this has gone on for, and I guess maybe next year or something, you can do a documentary and show places and show this and show that and have people speak from all over the place who can tell their own story and how Surpassing Grace Assembly has been a blessing to them. You know, but 24 years, it's been God's goodness and grace all the while. I think when year 2000, we started Sunday morning service, so there was a Surpassing Grace outreach fellowship, as it were, before then. And 2000, 2nd July, we started Sunday morning services. You know, my family and I were all here up to 2009, I believe it was, up to 2009, and then we've not been here, so it's been up to the amazing leadership that you've had here to, you know, keep things running and running very well. Hallelujah. For that, I salute Pastor Bolaji Ajobo and his wife, and the pastors, Pastor, Professor, do we have to put that now? Fireone, of course, our husband, the leaders, amen. They're just wonderful and amazing. And if you don't know what that is, if you have ever been in a wrong church and a bad church, then when you're in a good church, you will appreciate it even better. You know, Jesus said he went to a place, the woman started cleaning his feet with her hair. Poured ointment, used her hair to start wiping the feet. They said, what's wrong with her? He said, the woman has been forgiving much. That she knows what it means. That's why she's so appreciative. So, they're amazing, amazing people that we have, and we thank God for them. Amen. I said, amen. You know, every time people don't sound enthusiastic when I say that, I'm thinking, okay, don't worry. They will all come. I mean, Dr. Fayo, you will all move to Lagos. You can come to Lagos. They're not clapping enough for you. So we can move you to Lagos. Amen. So we clap for you in Lagos. You know? Hey. Amen. I'm also so greetings from my family, but I'm glad to have my PA with me tonight. That's my daughter. She's in town by herself and came to spend some time with me. So she's around somewhere. Where is she hiding? She says she's technical. So she's always running to technical and hiding in the corner. But that's my PA. Amen. Okay, so we read, and our theme is new beginnings, new wine, new wineskin. And when you look at it and you say new wine, new wineskin, when Pastor BJ first mentioned that to me, I thought to myself, why is he giving very difficult homework? You know, when you look at it, it's a new wine skin. It's giving very difficult homework. It's tough, I mean, isn't it? It's a tough theme to be dealing with. And because he knows he's not preaching, you know, then he says it's new wine skin, you know. And I said, God, what is this one now? You know, but incidentally, there was a good, quick, easy flow once I began to pray about it. And I knew what exactly God was saying. I knew the direction that God was going. And basically, God was talking about the fact, or is talking about the fact that he's going to do new things, like the new beginning side of it. Amen. Means that he's going to turn things around for us. Can I have an amen? Okay, he's going to turn things around for me. So every time I'm talking about it, point at me. Pray for me. Can I have an amen? God is about to do new things for me. One of my favorite scriptures with that is Isaiah 58, when he says that your light shall shine like the morning. You know, your light shall shine. Once it shall burst forth like the morning light. I like it because it says to me, Isaiah 58:8, it says to me that, you know, when I am with God and God is with me, then it's like the morning light is like when in the morning, that sunlight, that brightness begins to show forth. You know, it's like it's piercing the darkness. And for me, it's like God is saying, I'm starting new things with you. You know, I'm starting new things with you. I'm going to do amazing things with you. God is saying that it doesn't matter what it has been up to now, but when I start. You know, he said to the children of Israel, they had been in slavery for a long time. And God said to them, I'm going to deliver you. So he said, this is going to be the beginning of months for you. You know, it didn't matter whether it was January, whether it was April, whether it was May. He said, now this one, it may not be January. He said, but when I do what I do, this will be the beginning of months for you. You will see, it's like your life just started afresh. Amen. And I believe that's what God is trying to say to us, is that he's going to do things and start doing things with us, but it's going to be like the beginning. Like you just started. Like you are thinking, wow, did I know God before? Wow, have I ever seen God's favor before? Wow, have I ever enjoyed God's goodness before? Now, wow, I thought I had seen the things God can do. You know, and God is saying he's going to just blow your mind. Amen. And when he talks about the new wineskin, it's like God is also saying that you to receive what he has, we must also be prepared. Amen. So yes, God has blessings for us, but it's also saying that to receive the things that he has for us, there are things you and I need to do in order to ensure that we prepare for those things. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the prosperity of fools destroys them. So it can be dangerous to bless somebody who is not ready for it. Can be very dangerous. You know, years ago I was working in this city and I had a boss and they were going to give him a political appointment. So before they announced the appointment, we had heard about it. And one day, you know, I got to work and somebody told me, you know, this guy is going to be giving this appointment. And I said to him, I said, whoever made that move on his behalf did him a disfavor. I said, whoever is pressing those buttons is not doing him well. That person hates him. I said, because that thing will destroy him. That guy is not ready for any form of honor, any form of promotion. I said, so whoever thought that he was helping him is not helping him. He wants to destroy him. And he got the appointment, and it destroyed him. I said, because this guy is so pompous, as it were. I said, so when you now give him this one, it will be like every one of us should be, you know, bowing down when he's walking by. Are you there? But thank God he said it's the prosperity of fools that destroys them. And I know that we are not fools. Amen? And so we'll talk about, so tonight while we talk about the blessing and the new beginning of God, we'll talk about the preparation more the next 2 days. Can I have an amen? Now you've changed something and it's not sounding good. Please change that sound. Change whatever you just did now. Change it back. Change it back. Thank you. Hallelujah. Aha, that's better. Thank you. So when he's looking at it, what's happening is that in the text, for instance, Jesus was referring to what they did with wine. New wine, once you make it, they will ferment it for a few days, but it's new wine. And they will put it in their wineskin. The wineskin is made of animal skin, which over time gets dry. You know, and if you put the new wine in wineskin, because the wine is still fermenting, in fact, up to now, sometimes when, if you know people drink wine, they can tell you, they bring out a bottle and say, this is 1965. You know, that means this wine has been fermenting since 1965. This is old wine. It has brewed and brewed and brewed. So when they make the wine and they put it in their wineskin, at the point in which they put it in the wineskin, it has fermented but just a little bit. So it continues to ferment. And in that fermentation process, it produces gas. And that gas means that the wineskin will expand. Are you with me, anybody? And if the wineskin is old and dry, in an attempt to expand, it will burst. And all the wine plus the wineskin will be destroyed. So are you getting the picture? So God is saying, I want to do something new. I want to bless you and all of that. But you must have the capacity to take what I'm going to do. Can I have an amen? In the context that we read it, it was talking about fasting. Basically signifying religious rites and religious things and spiritual things. And again, God was saying that, look, yes, there are spiritual things that I will do, but they're going to be different. They're going to be on another level. They'll be on another scale. But if you knew the way the disciples of John did it, you can't just do it the way that is going to be done under the new covenant. Hallelujah. And that's why I was telling them, you will have to be prepared. In Isaiah chapter 43, God was speaking, Isaiah 43, let's go to verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Are you still following me? How many people expect something great from God? Isaiah 43, verse 18. So he said, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I think this really captures the kind of dimension of the new thing, the new beginning that God wants to give us. He said, do not remember the things of old. Do not consider. Do not remember the former things. Do not consider the things of old. Because one of the big problems that people have is that we get stuck. Can I hear you say stuck? We get stuck in the old. I always tell people that it's very easy to get people healed of many things. However, when something has been there for a long time, it's much more difficult because people get stuck. They sit there and they, in fact, if you give a call for healing, they may not even answer because they are used to managing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are used to, this is just me. Some will even spiritualize it and say, this is my cross. And Jesus carried a cross so that we won't carry any. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He carried a cross so we won't carry any. He had 39 stripes on his back so that I can be healed. It means that no matter what I face, I can trust God, believe God, fight for my healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because everything was laid upon him. The Bible says himself took my own. He didn't take his own, he took mine. Hallelujah. He took mine so that I won't have it. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? He took it so that I won't have it. So when we start to see and remember, so when you are dealing with something, things have been there for a very long time, then you need to also start reminding yourself and dealing with yourself and reminding yourself again and again and again that when God is speaking like he is now, but he's doing a new thing, there's a new beginning, then you can tell yourself, but hey, then I can believe God to start me afresh now. It doesn't matter how long I've been jobless. When God declares, because I believe that that's what God said prophetically when he declared this thing. When God declares and he says, I'm doing a new thing, it means that, hey, all of a sudden, I've tried and tried and tried. Nothing seems to be working. Hey, but God can do it now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As long as I'm alive, God can always do something new with my life. But I must not consider. That word consider means to get stuck with the old. So that every time you want to think about something, it doesn't work. We've done it before. I've tried it before. It didn't work. Well, try it again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Try it again. Especially try it again now that God is saying new beginnings. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, some time ago, I was ministering somewhere, and I did give a call. Ministered, you know, to people. In fact, particularly, I gave a call to people who had even chronic conditions as led by God. And I prayed for people, and I finished, were praying a little bit more, and I felt God say, still give a call, somebody with a back pain. You know, the first thing you think to yourself as a preacher is that, but I just gave a call for people who needed healing. Why? Because I've given a call, so everybody should have come out. And I gave a call for chronic conditions, everybody should have come out. But I felt God was saying that, and I thought to myself, really? So after a while of praying and debating in my heart, I said, okay, you know what? This thing keeps coming to me, that there's somebody who has a back pain, and I don't think you came out before. And somebody, well, the pastor brought somebody out. And said, this, you know. And I prayed with this man. The next day, they were giving testimonies. And there was a lady who came out, and she gave a testimony. And she said, you know, that yesterday, when I then said there was back pain, she said she thought about it, she had had a back pain since she gave birth to her child. Had this terrible chronic back pain. She said, because, in fact, those who would serve with her in the church know that she has a, you know, like your tools of management. She says, so whenever she's serving in the church, whatever, they know. She has the one that she wears around her waist. She has the pain, the one she uses to massage. They know that after about 5 minutes, she sits down a little bit and all of that. She said, and when that call was given again, I said, back pain. I'm talking about the fact that she had everything and still did not come out. She said when she then had the back pain, she thought, should she go out? And then before she could decide, maybe she should go, maybe she shouldn't go, the pastor had brought somebody else out. And then she thought to herself, well, let me just stand here and pray. She said, but since that time, since that yesterday night, she has not needed any of those tools that she had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That she had not needed to take anything, no painkillers, nothing. She had been standing, she had been doing everything she used to do, and all of the pain had stopped from that time. God is saying new beginnings. Are you with me? God is saying new beginnings. So you have to borrow a leaf from the man by the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. The Bible says he was there, the angel will stir the pool, and the first person that gets in the pool will get healed. Guess how long that man had been crippled? The Bible says he had been crippled for 38 years. Can I hear you say 38 years? That seems like a long time. Am I right? By any standard, it seems like a long time to be dealing with any issue. For 38 years, that man sat by the pool of Bethesda, and the angel will stir the pool to add insult to injury before he could roll himself with his hand. Those who had two legs, even if they had no eyes, as long as they knew, they before the angel would come and stir the place, they had asked somebody, they said, just position me the direction of the pool. Okay? So once he hears, the man just, he runs. He doesn't care whether he tramples on people and he dives into the pool. But this one has no leg. He said, every time I hear that stirring of the pool, before I can get there, somebody jumps in before me. But guess what I want you to note tonight? The man did not leave the pool. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He did not leave the poolside because he was saying, you know, one day, I will still get my healing. Otherwise, he would have left in frustration and said, there's no hope. All these guys with two legs, in fact, some of them are running like Usain Bolt. I mean, who's running now? He said, the way they run, there's no hope. I can never make it. Let me just go home. But the man stayed there. And guess what? One day, Jesus came by and he looked at him and seeing, the Bible says, seeing that he had been there a long time in that condition. So Jesus singled him out for the fact that he had the problem for a long time and went to him and said, would thou be made whole? Hallelujah. God is saying to you that new beginnings means that everything that you have stood with, stood against, believed God for, is taking so long. He's saying, don't give up because the time is now for things to change. Hallelujah. Just like you find in Mark chapter 5 about that woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she had that issue for how long? 12 years. Not only has she had a problem, she had tried to get healed. The Bible says on top of the problem, she spent all that she had on physicians and she wasn't even maintained. He said instead of getting better, she rather grew worse. So she was sick. Now she's broke as well. Are you hearing me? But then she heard about Jesus. And she came and pressed in the crowd. I thought that kind of woman would have given up. I said, there's no way anymore. There's no hope. This is my cross. She didn't give up. She still looked and felt that when Jesus is passing by, it must be for my sake. Are you hearing me? She's still saying to herself that if they say new beginnings, it must be me they are talking about. Did you understand that? But when those things are declared, you put yourself first. You don't care about anybody else. You put yourself first. They said new beginnings. That's me. Hallelujah. Thank God it's new beginnings. It's me, new beginnings for me. Are you with me? And she went in, pressed. Mark chapter 5, from about verse 25. She went in, pressed in the crowd. There was a crowd. But nobody got healed. Except for the woman who kept saying, "This is my new beginning." Except the woman who kept saying, "Jesus came by for me." Except the woman who kept saying, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." The Bible says, "For she said," but in the original Greek, what she was saying was, it says, "For she kept saying." She had had an issue for 12 years, but she kept saying. Hallelujah! She kept saying, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And she touched that hem of the garment that was made whole. And when Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" They said, "There are many people touching you, but not all of them are saying it's my new beginning." Are you with me? Not all of them are saying it's my new beginning. I'll get what I want from the Lord. Not all of them are saying that. But God is saying that to you. Are you hearing me? And so you need to declare what God is declaring. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, when you talk about new wine, it often refers to not just healing, like we've used examples of healing, but it refers to prosperity. It refers to God's blessing. God just blessing you, things working out for you. That's what it is used for. Go to the book of Genesis. So in Genesis, you see how it was used to bless. Genesis chapter 27. So we'll read a few quick verses. Just pointing out to you, but when God is saying new wine, he's saying, "I will bless you." Hallelujah. He's saying, "I will bless you." And God can do amazing things. You know, we have an online fellowship. We call the Compass. And as of 2 years ago, in fact, there are many stories with many of the people there, many testimonies of things God has done, how God has blessed people amazingly. Because that's a fellowship for people who are in a strange land. You know, so it's an online fellowship for people who are not in Nigeria, who have moved out of the country, and we meet online once a month. So, and I know the stories of the different people. Some have shared testimonies in the group, some have not, but they've told me what happened to them. You know, and you can see how God can bless people in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of seeming challenges, in the midst of impossibility. Because again, they're in a place where people don't know them. Where you can't have the connection, as it were, except God connects you. Are you with me? I knew a couple, they talked, "Oh, we wanted a house, blah, blah, blah." Almost caused a fight between them. And the wife also will complain sometimes and groan and grumble. You know, work was difficult. Things were not working and all of that. But recently, they were sharing and they were talking. Genesis 27. It says, "Therefore," so this is Isaac blessing his son, okay? Genesis 27, verse 28. I didn't say the verse, did I? Genesis 27, verse 28. It said, "Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heavens, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine." Some translations say, "and new wine." So what was he saying? May God bless you. Hallelujah. Go very quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. So when Jesus was saying all of that, he knew these were the things the people knew that he was talking to. But hey, when God wants to do, because the covenant that he was ushering him was a completely different covenant. And he was telling them, don't get stuck in the old religious ways and think that what God is about to do can be contained in your religiosity of the past. He said, but you will have to change. You as a person will have to change, because what God is about to do is completely different and on a new scale. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7. Are you there? He said, and he will love you. Verse 13. Deuteronomy 7, 13. He said, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. I need to move a little faster. But go to Proverbs chapter 3. And that should tie that up for you. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs the third chapter. And verse 9. So really tonight, I'm declaring prophetically, as it has been declared prophetically as the theme, that God is about to do amazing things. You know, guess what? This is the time you buy your car. Have you ever sat back before and said to yourself that the way things are, will I ever have a car? Have you sat back before and ever said, will I ever have a house? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is saying, this is the time. And that's what it means when he said new beginnings. He's saying this is the time. And you will not, you will first have to change your mind. Forget the former things. Don't consider the things of old. That is, don't set the limitations by the things that have been in the past. But just know that God is saying, hey, you know what? It's new things now. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 9, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So it's talking about the fact that God will bless you. God will prosper you. So that's how new wine is used in the old covenant. Now let me say this to you. Because as you think and you say to yourself sometimes, will I ever, and the way these things are in the last 1 year, the way this country is going, guess what? That's exactly the time that God performs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's exactly when God performs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was saying, look, I was dealing with an issue. He said, and I begged the Lord, and I said, take it away from me. And he said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, this is what I want you to note. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That is when things are tough and you feel, I can't even deal with it anymore. God said, yeah, that's the job for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says, that's the job for me. I'm happy that now that you see that things are difficult and you can hand it over to me, because I am a specialist in making impossibilities possible. You know, sometimes it's difficult when you... that's why I like Asa. Asa is that 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14. Asa was speaking, I think verse 11. And he was praying to God because they were going to face an army. The army of Ethiopians, which were like double the size of the army, of their own army. And they were going to face that army. And as I prayed a prayer that I like, he said, God, you know, it's not difficult for you to help, whether with little or with much, with people that have a lot or don't have much. Now, that's a prayer that many of us can't pray. You know, because when we have much, we don't pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, so what Asa was saying is that whether we seem to have a lot, you can help us. Whether we don't seem to have a lot, you can help us. As I was saying, whatever we have doesn't count. All that counts is that you are for us. But many of us, many times, because we seem to have an idea of how we can handle something, then we leave God out of it. Are you with me? You know, so when I was in 100 level, we're writing exams. How many people pray before exams? Students, you pray. You ask God to help you. If you've ever been a student, I mean, only me. So you pray, you ask God, say, God, help me, or, you know, help me with this exam. So I was praying, I prayed, God, help me with these exams, help me, you know. And then I thought, you know, when you look at certain courses, you say, this one, Fenojeko, Abi. Fenojeko is for us in the olden days, Abi. Bush old parents, like my parents would say, it's not olden days, daddy, like it's not olden days. That's the way they will talk to us now. You know, for them, they will say it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You know, so I looked at some, he said, this one, no problem. That one, no problem. You know, but as the exam was coming and was coming, the one that I thought was no problem, I wasn't reading. You know, I wasn't reading the thing. And then we had all of them back to back. And then when it got to the night before, we had two papers the next day. And I thought it was Fenojeko. And then I began to read. I began to try to read. But when I tried to read one, one was physics, one was chemistry. I wasn't understanding. Then the Fenojeko chemistry, it wasn't flowing either. Ah. And this was the night before the exam. There's no space anymore. And I thought to myself, well, I don't come, you know, because what you had thought, this one is in my back pocket. Now lie, it's not anywhere. So I prayed. I prayed to God that night. I said, God, you know, I've been praying. I've been praying that I trust you with my exam. I said, this time I'm very serious. This one, I'm serious now. Not, it's not prayer like before. This is really serious. Prayer from the bottom of my heart. I mean it now. Don't take it like the previous prayer. Eh? So how many people are like me? So it's when the thing, the rubber meets the road, that you pray and say, God, I'm serious. I'm very serious. You know, but God says, when you are that very serious, he said, honestly, it's very easy for him. That's even when he has the leeway to perform. Because the obstacle he has endured is your own thinking that you can fix things by yourself. Are you there? That's why we're believing God for a child. We're believing God for a child. We're believing God for a child. And my wife one day said, let's go to the hospital. I said, no. He said, you're a doctor, I'm a doctor. And you're running from the hospital. What do you mean by that? I said, no, that's not why. I said, don't, we're not going to the hospital yet. Because I believe that your heart is not fixed in faith on God. And if you go to the hospital that way, they can give you news that would completely destabilize you. I said, but we can go to the hospital when we are sure that we are stable in our faith. It doesn't matter what they say, our eye is on God. So after a lot of talking, blah, 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 so yeah, let's go. So we went. Hey, oh yeah, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. We went, we do it, we did everything. You do this, you do this. We were doing everything, we're doing everything. One day she got home. She said, I'm tired. I'm not going again. He said, if it happens, it has to be God. I said, correct. Now God has the chance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now God has the chance to do his own thing, and God did it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So very often, it's in those tough times that God can perform. So while we are looking at it, I say, look, even this afternoon, they sent me one bill. Because as I left my house, I asked somebody, I said, look, go and check the roof. I said, it's even a good thing that I stayed home on Wednesday. It just began to leak. I said, so check the roof. You know when you say, check the roof with confidence. So they checked the roof. They sent me a bill this afternoon. When I look, I say, Kilode. And I said, God is able. Are you still there, anybody? So in the tough times is when God performs the best. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's why God is speaking now. He's speaking this way under Tinubunomics. I mean, is that not what they call it? And that's why God is saying that I'm declaring prosperity for you now. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's read Psalm 126. You know, let's read Psalm 126. And if you know, while you are opening Psalm 126, I'll just talk about, just to save us time, I'll talk about Psalm 108. I mean, 105, rather. It's a popular psalm talking about the children of Israel and how God dealt with them, how God led them, all their journey, as it were. You know, but Psalm 126 is what we're opening. And then God said to them in Psalm 105, from about verse 9, verse 8, verse 9 to verse 12, And God said to them, I will give you this land. When they were strangers in that land of Canaan, the Bible says that's when God was speaking to them. Are you hear what I'm saying? God was telling them, they were strangers. The Bible says they were strangers in the land. God said, I will give you the land. And God was making the promise when they were strangers in that land and very few. So when it was most unlikely. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about the tendency of God to speak at the most unlikely time and tell you, I will bless you. The beginning is starting. Are you still with me? At the time that you are saying, you are thinking to yourself, yeah, I'm in trouble. Yeah, things are tough. That's when God begins to make new promises and say, hey, I am God and I'm for you. Remember what we were talking about in Isaiah 43? He said, I will make a way in the wilderness, streams in the desert. It means that the place is still a wilderness. He didn't change the wilderness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The wilderness is still a wilderness. He said, but for you, I will make a way there. The desert is still the desert. He said, but right there for you, I will make streams. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Listen, may I believe what I'm preaching? Good message. Amen. I'm saying amen for myself. So when in Psalm 105, he was speaking about the children of Israel, he was promising them the land. I will give you this land. But at that time, they were strangers in that land. And they were very few. Very unlikely time to speak. Jeremiah 29:11, every one of us likes it. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to bring you to an expected end. But I always like to remind people that God was speaking that to the children of Israel when they were in slavery. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were in slavery when God was saying, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a hope and a future. Sir, we are slaves. To give you a hope and a future. Sir, we are in slavery. To bring you to an expected end. Sir, it's not working. They are beating us. He said, I will give you a hope and a future. Are you still with me? He doesn't consult your past or your present to determine your future. He declares the end from the beginning. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my will. So he declares it and he just says, you know what I said will happen. I don't care what you are seeing. I don't care what's happening to you. What I've said will happen. That's what that scripture means. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you found Psalm 126? So Psalm 126 begins and it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He said, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So the sowing part and all of that is what we're talking about the next 2 days. But the first two verses is what we're talking about today. He said, when God turned things around, we were like them that dreamt. Why are we like them that dreamt? Because it was totally beyond expectation. It was shocking. It was surprising. It was beyond anything that we thought could happen. We had given up on things, but Lord God turned things around. So it seemed like a dream. Have you ever had something happen to you and you had to pinch yourself to say, am I sure? Am I sure? I hope I won't wake up and the cars disappear. I hope I won't wake up. The job offer has gone. I hope I won't wake up. Am I sure? Is it really happening? You know, many years ago, one night, I went to see somebody, And as we came in, we saw his landlady, and she, well, you know, greeted us, and we're talking. And he said, you know, I have this need. I want to do this business, and I need this money so badly, blah, blah, blah. Will you pray with me and agree with me? So we prayed with her, and we agreed with her, and we went off to the BQ to see the pastor we came to see, and we're talking. And barely a few minutes later, I can't tell you it was up to 30 minutes, and the woman screamed. And then go. We said, what happened? She said, just now, my sister called and said, the money you are looking for, I will give you half. I will loan you half. She said, it's like a dream. We just prayed now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when God does things, whether it's too quick, whether it's beyond the size of what we were thinking for, or whether it was, it's an impossibility. And God made it possible. That's what he called new beginnings. That's what he's calling new wine. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God will make us dream. Let me close on this scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was writing. You know, I like that scripture very much that Pastor Bidio referred to earlier. That when the angel appeared to John, you know, and he said to him, John, you know, your prayer has been heard. We didn't get it. We didn't get the full gist. Because in English, they didn't write the full gist. What the angel said to John was, John, the prayer you have given up on. The prayer you are no longer praying. You know, you pray some prayers. In fact, there are some prayers that when you pray them a while, you file them away in the archives. And that one goes to the library. It's a prayer I used to pray sometime ago. I used to believe God for you. Have you ever heard those things before? I used to believe God for. So you file it away in the library. There are some that even as you are saying them, you only half believe. Some people are praying some and they say, okay, God, you know what? I've asked you for three things. If you do just the number one, it's okay. I'll be happy. I'll be fine. You know, two and three can wait. You know, because sometimes we think that the file on God's desk is too many. You know, so if you can attend to just one file, of all the many people who are putting files there, you know, if he attends to just one file of your own, it's all right. You know, but what is telling us, what Paul was writing to us in Ephesians 3:20, is completely different. Describes a completely different scenario with God. He said, now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ever ask or imagine. Now, I always say that Paul must have had difficulty expressing what God was said, telling him to say. Because it's enough for him to have said that God can do above all. Abi? If he said to us, if he wrote there and he said, God can do above all that you can ever ask or imagine, would that not be enough for us? Are you following what I'm saying? Would that not be a good scripture by itself? If I just saw a scripture, Ephesians 3:20, and it said, God is able to do above all that I can ask or imagine. That's great. I will still shout hallelujah. I will still dance in the spirit and say, glory to God. But God was trying to express something way beyond that. And so that's why Paul was writing. And he said, he's able to do exceedingly above. He said, no. It doesn't fit it. He said, no, it's exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask. He said, it's not enough. He said, even imagine. Because there are some things that you live in the dream world. You know, you dare not put them even in words. And you leave them in the dream world. You dream about it, then you wake yourself up and say, stop it, stop it. Stop it, stop it. He said, no, 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 no. Even the one you can imagine, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or imagine. Now, this is what I really like. Again, in the Greek, what he really said was not that God can do. What he said was that God can and will do. Are you hearing me? God can and will do. He will do it. It's not just that he has the ability. It's that he will actually do it for you. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have been dreaming about. I don't know what you have been praying about. God can and will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ever ask or imagine. Hey. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It means that when you pray and you say amen, somebody's there and say, ah, God will do more than that. Oh. Hallelujah. God will do more than that. Oh. God will even still beat that one. Oh, wow, amazing. You mean God, and when you dream, you say to yourself, God, I've just set the lower standard of what you will do. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Begin to talk to him, give him thanks. Give him thanks, give him praise. I hope with these few words I've been able to convince you and not confuse you. But God is able to do, and God will do. He will do new things. He will bless you exceedingly. I hope you are convinced that God is opening up a new thing for you, a new chapter in your life that will amaze even you yourself. That you will be like someone dreaming. And you say to yourself, is this me? Wow, is this me? You know, many times I sit and I look at it and I say, I couldn't have written the story of my life. I couldn't have charted my course. It's not possible. It's not possible. Only God could have taken me to certain places he's taken me to. Only God. Are you with me? And that's the way to keep thinking. In fact, not a while ago, I was asking God, and I said, because he told me many years ago, I was thinking, God, I want to go full time. God, I want to go. I don't want to do nothing else and all that. And he said, I told you that I will take you to the top, and then I will pull you out. So I said, God, so am I at the top? He said, no, I'm not done. He said, I'm not done. There's more. There's more I want to do. But he stands by his word. He said, but there's more. I'm still taking you somewhere. And then I will pull you out. And it means that what it means is you don't sit back and say, it looks like this is my bus stop in life. I'll be bus terminus. This is the destination. No, it's not the destination. No, it's not the destination. No, it's not the destination yet. No, 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 no. No, 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 it's not. He said the path of a righteous man shines brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Unto the perfect day. So you until you can get to a place and you say, I'm too blessed. Are you with me? Until you can get to a place and you can say, I'm too blessed. That's what you can call a perfect day. And you say, I'm too blessed. You know, perfect day is when you are looking in the sky and there's no cloud. The sun is out there, full, bright, strong, no cloud covering it. And you say, that's the full day. That's where God is taking you to. And you'll have to be able to open up yourself in your mind, in your spirit, to say, yes, I trust God. Somebody say, but me, I don't want much. I'm a very simple person. Yeah. God doesn't want you to consume all that he gives to you. He wants to make you a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. I will bless you and make you a blessing. That's what he told him. That the reason why I want to bless you the way I want to bless you, so that you can be a blessing. So all the things God wants to do with you, it's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for your neighbors. It's for your communities. That's what he wants to do. He wants to so bless you that it's impossible for you to keep it to yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said that he's able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you having all sufficiency in all things. That means you having everything that you need. You now have enough to give to every good thing. Every good thing that crosses your mind, you can be a blessing there too. Amazing things will happen. Amazing testimonies will happen. Because God is the one that gave the thing. God is the one saying new beginnings. God is the one saying new wine. Listen, you will stand in positions you are not qualified for ordinarily. And you say to yourself, what's the qualification for being here? Why are they asking me to take on this position? Don't say no. When the offer is, say yes. Don't stand there and say, but I don't know what I will do. God knows what to do. So take it on and trust God, you know, and say there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I will know what to do. Doors will open when they have been shut. New things, new wine covers everything. Jesus used it in a spiritual context. So even people who have had stagnancy in their walk with God, the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to burn on your altar. In fact, it's a requirement to be able to contain the blessing God wants to bring your way. The fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, when he promised, he didn't promise just the Holy Ghost. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what John said. When he that will come will come, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's usually where God starts. And we'll talk about those things more. He walks on the wineskin. There are some you will begin to pray like never before. That's the beginning. God is preparing you and ushering you into it. You will find that prayer will just flow. You'll find yourself praying on the move. You'll find yourself praying and 1 hour passes by easily. Yeah, and you'll be like the psalmist that said, as the deer pants for the water, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. There'll be a strong desire for the Lord. Do what you want with me.
Take me deeper in love with you, Jesus. Hold me close in your
Malabraka mando socro posto veledisca braka baya kalabasta braka Give me a little time. Let me walk among the people. Let me touch the people. Let me speak to the people. Let me do the things that only I can do with them, for them. If there's healing you need, prepare to receive that if you haven't already. If there's a healing you need, if it's direction you need, prepare to receive that if you haven't already. Whatever you might need, just in a moment, close your eyes. Just take in a moment, just close your eyes wherever you are. And just say, Lord, touch me. I'm ready for your new wine. Say that from the depth of your heart and expect a touch from him. Expect words, direction. Expect him to do something in you and for you. Yeah, just flow. The ushers, just be alert. Power of God is all over the place. yeah, that's the power of God all over the place. Touching people. This is is stirring from within. Yeah, yeah, that's a laughter bursting up from somebody. Allow it to flow. Yeah, allow it to flow because he's doing a new thing. Yeah, he's doing a new thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is called the heaviness of God. That's the original translation. It's the heaviness. It's just like a dense presence of God settles on you, and it just feels so heavy that it's difficult to stand. Healings, miracles by the mighty hand of God. I, and above all, I pray, Lord, that you will set people's hearts on fire. You will set people's hearts on fire tonight. They will pray night vigils by themselves, fasting by themselves, great in-depth study of God's word by themselves, because there will be a hunger for you like never before. That's the new beginning we crave, even above all things, is to know you more. To know you more.
I want more of you. I want